Well, the Patriots we all know and love, they're back.
That's right. Get those 07 record books and start erasing.
I don't know. You might want to put the brakes on a little bit.
It was just one game?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. At least they're 7-2, right?
You guys, I mean, we just started. Can't you guys, I mean, 55 points. You can't get excited about any of that?
I just said get the record books out. That kind of a performance, 400 yards passing, 300-yard receivers.
I know, but the question everyone is asking is, what is the real Patriots? Is this what, you know, obviously we're not going to get 55 points, but is this what, you know, they were building towards, or is this an anomaly?
Certainly people like you, yeah. Optimists, yeah. Were telling me.
I feel like a shot coming.
No. Yeah. We're telling
people
me
like you.
That when Gronkowski and Amendola were back and on the field together and had a couple games together,
right,
with Brady, and guys sort of, you know, trickle down into the, it's sort of the opposite of the Tlaib on defense, trickle down roles. Well, now offensively, you have some weapons so other guys can become bit players. There is the potential that I think this offense could be better over the second half of the season. Yes.
Well, I think, you know, barring injury, it really has to be, in my opinion.
Good point.
Because no,
it can't be much worse.
Well, yeah. But I think we know Gronk. We know what Amendola has done when he's healthy in this league, okay? We know, we haven't seen it in a continued basis, but when Shane Vereen comes back, we know what he can contribute, okay?
You know, don't forget your boy Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, the running game overall, but of course led by Ridley. We know the potential of these guys, and I think if they can stay on the field together, the offense has to get better.
To me, it's all about Gronkowski. And I know that's simplistic, but to me, he's just... we joked about this in the offseason a little bit. If there's an MVP on this team, counting or not counting Brady, whatever you want to do, to me it's got to be Gronk. And you see the differences that he makes. The first half, Pittsburgh just goes out there and they try to single cover him all over the place. They're giving him free releases off the line, and he just torches them. In the second half, they say, okay, that didn't work. We have to do some things different. And now you see Dobson making plays down the field. You see the running game open up. The running game didn't do a whole lot in the first half. In the second half, Ridley was unstoppable. So I just think, I know it's simplistic, but you look at one guy and the impact that one guy can have, and it was night and day.
And I don't really think it's that simplistic. I mean, it is when you sort of look at it from afar, but then you ask a guy like Aaron Dobson what effect that Gronk has, and he said, it's amazing.
Hey,
the effect that he has on the field, on the what he can do, what is, you know, what coverage he sees. You know, even Brady talked about
it. Brady
how
said
hard
it. That to me was eye-opening.
I mean, so I don't think it seems simplistic, but it's true.
Absolutely.
It's what happens when Gronk is on the field healthy and making plays.
Well, look, I mean, and Gronk is a freak. He's maybe, you know, when he's healthy, the best tight end in football, maybe ever. Who knows? But whenever a team, who knows? But whenever a team has a player of that ilk, will have that effect when they come back. And I think, again, the offense has to get better with him there and with everyone else healthy. So are they going to score 55 points? No, not every week. But they are going to be better than what we saw first half. I can guarantee you.
Guarantees.
Yeah.
I mean, Rex Ryan Jr. over here.
Yeah, I don't know what will happen, but I'll say this. You know, on Fred's side, it's going to have to be, you know, 55, no, but 35, around 30, 35, because you look at the hits this defense continues to take, and you wonder how much they can keep holding on. I think that they played great football over much of the first half of the season, but now you're starting to see the effect. 30 points against the Jets, and it's 31 against Pittsburgh. And by the way, two very low-powered offenses, teams that haven't scored points against really anybody else, especially Pittsburgh. So you're going to need that, because right now you're going to get Tlaib back at some point, but those other guys aren't coming back. Mayo, Will Fork, now Tommy Kelly. You're going to have to figure out a way to hold on here. And I think offensively, it's time for the second half of the season, the offense to take the lead the way the defense did in the first
half.
And
both are health related. I mean,
absolutely.
You look at it, your defense was relatively healthy early, and then the injuries started to pile up. Offensively, you weren't healthy. You had guys who were out or getting banged up. It goes the other way. Yeah, you have to shoulder more of the load.
And, you know, it is a shame that both sides can't come together all healthy at the same time, but all
the teams
are like that.
It wouldn't be fair for the rest of the league.
That's true.
And it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the league, what you have to beat to go where you want to go potentially late December, January, February, there's no complete teams. There's no teams that are playing great on both sides of the ball or balanced run. You know, everybody has their flaws. It's a questionable talent in the league right now. So good enough, maybe good enough to go where you want to go.
And I think with the defense, just this last game, I think you saw the same challenges that Matt Patricia and Belichick had, that Josh McDaniels has had when he was trying to mix and match. You know, they're trying to do, you know, different things with different guys on a game-to-game basis now on defense. You know, you just bring in Isaac Sapuaga, You know, put
Sopawaga,
him,
but close.
Yeah, you didn't have him before. Now all of a sudden, he adds a different element that you didn't have the week before. You know, Tlaib's not there.
So Andre Carter, you pieced him in.
Right. So, but these are different guys, and not every guy's the same. So you're trying to use their skills to the best that you can, but it becomes almost a different unit every game.
And that's why we saw more variations up front, 4-3-3-4, and we see young guys. You know, sort of like on offense when Tompkins and Dobson were making plays, but they weren't really playing all that well. I don't know how well Daron Harmon and Logan Ryan are playing 60 minutes of football, but they've made some impact plays that have helped this team. And that's enough. It doesn't have to be pretty on defense. Make the plays to give the offense a chance now to make some of the plays, sort of like the flip-flop early in the season.
Yeah, and, you know, the bye comes at a good time because we saw Ninko go down. We saw Gregory go down. Hopefully that bye will allow at least Ninko, if not both of them, to come back and be ready for Carolina.
The acquisition of Isaac Sopawaga went pretty much as advertised. He's a run stuffer to be used on a part-time basis in that base defense. But what I found really interesting was the guys that were out there with him when he was on the field. It was more of a 3-4 look as a nose tackle. Bill Belichick talked about that during the week. He's the only true nose tackle they have since Wilfork went down. And I thought it was interesting to see Ninkovich and Chandler Jones used more as linebackers in that set with a lot of the beef up front. It certainly paid dividends in those third and fourth down stops against Pittsburgh and something we can look for going forward. A couple years ago, Devin McCourty was really struggling at cornerback, and people were wondering if this was yet another draft pick bust from the defensive backfield. But now, as a full-time safety, it's anything but. He's actually playing at a very high level, maybe even at a Pro Bowl level right now, and he's really holding things together back there. A lot of injuries. Aqib Tlaib has been out. Steve Gregory went out the last game, but McCourty's play has maintained that excellence, and I think he's really the glue that's holding that secondary together. It's not going to be easy. These guys are still banged up, and there's still a long way to go. But right now, McCourty is making that move to safety look really, really good. Finally, as we head into the bye week, I just wanted to take a look at the landscape in the AFC. And right now, the Patriots are in a really good spot at 7-2. I know, big news flash, but it's really wide open. Obviously, you have Denver and Kansas City at the top of the standings, but only one of them can get a bye. Obviously, whoever doesn't win the division out of those two is going to be the number 5 seed. And that's a big, big edge for the Patriots. Right now, they're in a battle with Cincinnati and Indianapolis for that other bye. And who would have thought that heading maybe a month ago with all of these injuries? It's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds. But right now, nobody scares you in the AFC. And I'll tell you what, in about a month, people might be afraid of the Patriots.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
This is my first time ever being 72. And hopefully them two losses stay exactly where they are.
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
All right, images of the week. And when you score 55 points, they're all good. This first one, I really think Gronkowski might have been in. Here's a shot of one that was ruled in. Aaron Dobson with another touchdown. Stephen Ridley ran angry all day, and here's one of him extending into the end zone. And finally, you knew that Pittsburgh had no shot when they saw this coming at them at the coin toss.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Patriots running back LeGarrette Blount, getting ready for a bye week. How do you enjoy these things as a veteran, these bye weeks? Is this a nuisance or do you need the rest?
I mean, it's good to get the rest, you know, get a lot of guys, you know, nicks and bruises healed, you know, and get ready for the second half of the season. So, you know, this is kind of a good time to have it, you know, and then we can go back and get started on the second half of the season.
And talking to you a little bit and certainly watching your interactions with the teammates, it seems like you're having an awful lot of fun playing football and winning some football games. What has this experience been like for you as a Patriot?
It's been a fun experience, you know, being in here, being a part of a winning team, being in the locker room with a lot of leaders such as Tom, you know, Vince Wilfork, Mayo, you know, Tlaib, a lot of guys like that. Knowing that you're going to go out there, you know, and you have a chance to win every game you're playing.
Is it interesting for you as a running back? Coach Belichick seems to change things from week to week. It's always game plan oriented. Sometimes you can be the feature guy, sometimes Stevens. Is it interesting to sort of have different roles like that every week?
Yeah, and you never know what you're going to get. So, you know, a team is not a... They're usually not able to game plan for us because they don't know which back they're going to get, you know. So, I mean, you know, like you said, you know, you never know who our future guy is. And, you know, it could be Ridley. You know, it could be Shane. You know, you just don't know. You just have to continue to work towards whatever they're going to give you.
Now, offensively, you guys obviously had an explosion on Sunday, 55 points. Is that really satisfying to know all the work you guys have been putting in, but to see it, you know, sort of come through on the field and you get that kind of production? Obviously, you guys knew it was there, but it must be pretty satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely satisfying to know that, you know, we have our offense, you know, what we can do when we're clicking on, you know, almost all cylinders. We didn't play the perfect game, but, you know, we came close to playing a really good game, so... You know, we have mistakes, you know, and there's a lot of things that we can learn from. But, you know, it's exciting to see, you know, the potential that this offense has.
Do you ever remember being 7-2 in the NFL?
Do I remember ever being 7-2? Nah, this is my first time ever being 7-2. And hopefully them two losses stay exactly where they are.
Since it's the bye week, no matchups to look at, so we'll do a little self-scouting and help Bill Belichick and company out. We're going to look at the pass protection. Just hasn't been good enough. Patriots have given up 26 sacks in 9 games, one less than they gave up all of last season, on pace for a career high for Tom Brady. I didn't just notice the problem. Clearly, offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia knows he has to clean that up.
Yes, we have given up more sacks at this point than we did all last season. I believe me, I understand that. I think our players are working at it very hard. And, you know, sacks are a byproduct of a lot of different things. So pretty much just leave it at that.
On the other side of the pass rush, the Patriots have Chandler Jones having a great second season. Leads the team with 8.5 sacks, on pace for 15. We were looking for a year two jump, and Jones is bringing it. And with all the other injuries on the front and on the defense as a whole, he's going to have to maintain that pace and be a key playmaker for the defense throughout his second season. Finally, we look at the running game. A year ago, Stephen Ridley led the way with nearly 300 carries on the way to 1,200 yards. Hasn't been quite the same this year. Only 118 carries in the first 9 games for Ridley. Had his best game last week against the Steelers. But clearly this season, it's the committee approach. The committee is going to get the opportunities week in and week out. Ridley is going to be the lead back at times, but other times it'll be Blunt, it'll be Bolden, and Shane Vereen's return is on the horizon. Committee backfield continue to carry the running game through the second half.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Do we just wipe away a full half season of issues and say, oh, they're back, baby?
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
When it comes to the situation in Miami, I know two things. One, Jonathan Martin has some emotional issues. He's admitted as much. The other thing I know is Richie Incognito is a bully. In fact, he's the definition of a bully. Someone who, when he sees a weakness in someone, whether it's emotional or physical, goes after that weakness without any sympathy. That's what Incognito did. But in this case, that emotional weakness is what let Martin blow the lid off this whole thing. So you know what, Richie? You picked the wrong target, because this time the nerd became your nightmare.
My father came over to my house the other night, and the first thing he says to me is, boy, is this NFL season terrible. And I immediately thought of Andy Hart, because he's been telling me the league stinks for years now, and certainly that's been the case this year. You look at some of the things that have gone on. Every team is beaten up with injuries. No one's at anywhere near full strength. Guys are throwing for 7 touchdowns. It's one thing if it's Otto Graham or Y.A. Tittle or even Peyton Manning, but now Nick Foles is throwing 7 touchdown passes against Oakland, the same team that killed Pittsburgh the week before. Oh, that same Pittsburgh team that came here and gave up 55 points to an offense that hasn't been able to score points all season long. What is going wrong with this NFL even my father knows it's just not very good.
Not sure if you heard, but Steelers safety Troy Polamalu, the guy with the long black hair you saw last Sunday, may actually cut that hair this week. He's raising money for veterans on Veterans Day, and I think there may be a side benefit to the former NFL Defensive Player of the Year. It may lessen the weight on his shoulders, but boy, did he look slow against the Patriots on Sunday. That coverage was putrid. Look for Polamalu to be better over the second half with less hair.
Trash Talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on.
55 points for the Patriots offense on Sunday, but was that more a result of what they did or the Steelers defense?
You know me, Paul. I try to be an optimist as much as possible.
Yes.
But let's be honest. That was putrid defense, absolutely awful defense that we saw from the Pittsburgh Steelers. For some reason, Dick LeBeau, who has been a great coordinator for a long time, decided, we're just going to let Gronkowski off the line. Oh, and when he does get into his routes, we're just going to cover him with a single, short, muscle-bound rookie safety who have no chance to match up with him. That was horrific. That was as bad a pass defense as I have seen against these Patriots in a decade.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But, don't you remember Freddie, you know, in the morning meeting? I mean, you don't take any positives out of this. There is,
was on the field, he wasn't hurt. Amendola was on the field, he wasn't hurt. That's
exactly
the positive.
And that, to me, is a sign of things to come. When these guys are out there and they're active, this is what this offense can do. Are they going to score 55 points? No. They scored that many probably because the Steelers' defense was so bad. But you can't just ignore the fact that you finally had these guys out there healthy together, and suddenly the offense looks like it has in the past. I'm more excited about the passing game and the things that I saw this week that I haven't seen all year moving forward than I am just worrying about how bad the Steelers
are. So how come a week earlier when Amendola was on the field and Brady was on the field and Gronkowski was on the field and, oh, the other team actually played defense and tried, it didn't look pretty?
Because they were knocking off the rust. You got to get the passing game back in gear. Because you can't – listen, the running game, I think,
agree,
has
been
fine.
Have to get it back. But the question is, do we just wipe away a full half season of
no.
issues and say, well, they're back, baby?
No, but I think they're on the way back, and I think this is a sign of things to come. Because they've only – this is only the second game that those two guys have been there. It's not like four of those games had Amendola and Gronkowski healthy together on the field. That's not what happened.
Right.
This is just the second time those two guys were out there.
And
I think it's going
to
continue
Amendola
to get better.
Amendola ran so well that he was wide open by about 25 yards down the middle of the field.
Listen, you can sit there and tell me all the reasons why these guys were open, but the fact of the matter remains, they were open.
You think that legitimately was them? The reason they were open.
It had something to do with the fact that they had all of these weapons, Andy, and they had to pick their poison.
It had something to do with one of the worst game plans and executions of a defensive game plan that I've seen. Dick LeBeau has lost it. If it had just been Dobson, you would have sold me hook, line, and sinker on your little cockamamie theory here.
Amendola
and Gronkowski, who had huge games, who were not covered, who were wide open, who were treated like they were nobodies. You should have been rolling towards them and allowing other guys to make plays.
All right, so do you think the Patriots have had really good offenses in the past?
Certainly.
They've had that happen a lot of times where guys just break wide open.
See, now you're
free.
Just being disingenuous. You have
I'm
never
being
seen
disingenuous? You've
guys
never seen Wes Welker have a 99-yard touchdown when no one covered him?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
The guy was
right
within
by,
5 yards.
Was
there was nobody within 20 yards.
Him.
No, ridiculous. Yeah, there was a guy covering him. No one covered Amendola.
Well,
there was nobody on his side of the field.
But you're talking about one specific play. That wasn't,
but there
I mean,
were a number
a
of those.
A guy covered Aaron Dobson on the 81-yard touchdown. He just ran by him.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama, engineering the most advanced tires on the road for nearly a century. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
Okay, it's that time of the show where we answer your questions. But first, as always, it's the Wilson Hart Power Index. And I would imagine the Patriots took a precipitous drop.
You'd imagine that they did not.
Oh, okay.
Because this is a very accurate index. Up three spots to number six, Fred. So your Patriots are creeping near the top.
Okay.
And you admitted last week you respect the index, so don't forget that.
No, I did. I think it's coming into line.
First three spots stayed the same. Seahawks, Saints, Chiefs are your top three. Still ahead of the Patriots, the Panthers, who we got coming up in a couple weeks, and the 49ers tied at number four. Down the bottom, same, same. Jaguars have a lock on number 32. Giants, 31. What are you humming?
Evidently, terrible losses to terrible teams like the Jets doesn't drop you in the standings anymore.
Oh,
I don't know.
Jeez, he's never happy.
You know, overtime
I tell
against
him.
You win in overtime at home against a winless team. You hold on to the top spot.
Is there any rhyme or reason to this nonsense?
It's not reactionary like you. It's cumulative.
And it's
statistical.
Stats-based.
Over the course of the season.
Okay.
Stop looking and do your job.
All right. So let's get to the questions. These are the ones you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. And the first one comes from Brett Larson, who wonders, is this Bill Belichick's best coaching job to date?
You look at the record and how they've played and the fact that he has culled together 7-2 at this point in the season, I think it's up there. You know, I think this team has dealt with a lot of injuries. We talked about the start of the year. They weren't overly deep. And we had some questions about the talent, certain offensively, as they were going through those injuries. So, you know, he's had a lot of great seasons when you're as good as he's been for more than a decade.
Yeah.
You know, is undefeated better when you're just killing people or is culling it together with not a lot of talent? It's up there. It's a very good coaching season.
I don't really like to rank him.
That was his Belichick impression, in case you didn't get it.
Okay, Robin Beck writes in, Kyle Arrington, who got a big contract from the Patriots this year, is almost invisible. If Gregory is out for a while, can he be inserted into the safety spot?
Well, Kyle Arrington's been a starter from day one. I mean, when Aqib Talib was still healthy, he was mostly the nickel back. He would come in the slot. He played some outside, but mostly inside. And then since Talib is gone, he's been with Dennard. Those two guys have been the starters outside. Now, there was a game, I want to say the Jets game, maybe. He didn't look like he played a whole lot in the second half. But for the most part, he's a 100% playtime kind of guy, Kyle
when
Arrington.
Healthy.
Yeah, when healthy, he's been out there. Now, he's been a little bit uneven. I think when he's outside, I think that is a
he
little bit
exposed.
More difficult for him.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
But he is a full-time player. And I also don't think, based on what we know, that Gregory is going to be out long-term. So I'm not necessarily sure you need to be moving a cornerback to safety, although that's something Belichick has done in the past with a guy like McCourty.
But usually we have some inkling of it. I can't recall Arrington in practice anything playing much safety. So
I agree.
He's a slot corner or an outside corner where he's being used.
All right, that's the questions this week. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.